Welcome to 48 Hour Heroes Origin Story. I'm your host, Kirk Nordenstrom, the co-producer of the Seattle and Montana 48 Hour Film Projects. Today I have a very, very special guest, Wouter van Gestel. He is, well, to put it bluntly, he is the wizard of the 48 Hour Film Project, and I'm really, really bummed that I did not get to see him at Filmapalooza this year, which is a whole story, which we will get into. But Wouter is awesome. He's just flat out awesome. He's a great guy, super talented, super smart, and he's really helping to build the 48 a common set of tools that we can all use to grow our events and create more inclusion and participation in the 48 Hour Film Project. So I would like to welcome Wouter van Gestel, the wizard of the 48 Hour Film Project. So it really doesn't matter what you look like, say or do. I know that I had a cooler weekend than you. All right, welcome everyone. I have a very special guest here with me today, Wouter van Gestel, who is the technical director now, I believe, for 48 Hour Film Project internationally, and the city producer for Eindhoven and how many other cities?
We are moving Nijmegen, which was one of the things that I did with Pierre. We moved that over now to Arnhem, which is really close by. But yeah, that I do that with Indra, and we are starting a new experiment, doing a special. I believe that Indra already told something about that, but
I think she was talking about that yesterday with me and Christina.
Yeah, so we're doing together with a special film festival that is doing all the genre films like horror, sci-fi, fantasy, which are things that both Indra and I are nuts about. We are huge geeks.
I like you both.
Exactly. So I mean, yeah, so Indra came up with the idea, so okay, we should do a special with just these stories, would be great. And then she came up with, maybe we should do with together with the Imagine Film Festival. And okay, yeah, sure, let's just reach out and see if they're up for it, and they are. So yeah, that's going to be a collaboration.
Very cool.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Europeans tackle the genre aspect, because you know, we have the horror, the comedy, the sci-fi. We've had political satire. We've had, I believe, family film, holiday film here. So it'll be fun to see a European take on those genres, because, well, you know, I love them. My first cat that I had as an adult was named Ash, after Bruce Campbell's character in the Evil Dead movies. So that tells you how much I I love it.
To be fair, I'm not really that much into horror. I mean, yeah. I do like some of it. I mean, the recent film Last Night in Soho, for instance. I love that film. For instance, that kind of horror I really love, like the psychological kind of things. But I'm a huge sci-fi geek. I mean, grew up with Star Trek and at some point also Star Wars. Doesn't matter. I mean, space stuff.
Yeah. I my dad took me to see Star Wars, Episode 4, A New Hope, in the theater when I was 5.
Wow.
So whenever I see good sci-fi, I feel like a 5-year-old hanging out with my dad at the movie theater.
I mean, I grew up with the VHSs, and then at some point when I was in high school, they did the special editions, and those came out in the theater. So I with a couple of friends, we went out to see to see Star Wars in the theater, which was like a first for me at that point. So yeah. So
Yeah, it's, loves me some Star Wars. So, well, let's get back on to the 48. So, how did you get involved? What's your backstory coming from? You run a DCP production house, obviously a post-production person. What was your journey, from filmmaking and into the 48?
Okay, so I did attend film school, and I was mainly an editor, and at some point that I evolved that into being a colorist and more like the online part of the post-production process, finishing. And at some I believe the first thing that was kind of part of the 48, even though I was barely aware of the whole thing, was a team asking me to do the color grading for it. I have no idea which city it was, or I have to look that up. But the first real attempt was in 2015. That was the first year that we did Eindhoven, which is basically my hometown, kind of. And so with a team, we decided to participate, and barely made it on time. I mean, our team leader, I remember that at some point we had huge audio problems, and which wasn't our fault. It was the audio guys that we hired, and they did a miserable job. Anyway, so the whole thing didn't sync up whatsoever. But I mean, we had to do something. So yeah, we still did render, put it on a USB stick. We were way too late, and at some point we were there. One person would push the eject bu button. I would pull the USB stick, give it to the team leader. She would run to the elevator, and because we were at my office at that point. And that was really close by the drop-off point.
Oh,
So
that's nice.
she went down with the elevator downstairs, run outside. There was a car waiting with motor running, and they drove, I don't know how fast, in a 30 kilometer per hour zone. Anyway, with
It's 20, about 20 miles an hour for Americans.
Yeah, so I believe with 2 seconds to spare, she delivered
Jesus.
it. And I'll try to find because there is video footage of her running and delivering that. It was amazing. But yeah, so that was kind of our first thing. And the other thing was that, I mean, we were still back there at my office, and we were totally convinced that we just failed it. There was no way that she would have done it. So she called, and half crying, okay. So I mean, so sorry that we didn't make it, but we did make it. Oh my. So
Wow.
yeah. So yeah, that was the first time, the real first time.
You had a real 48-hour
Yeah,
experience on that one.
real full 48-hour experience. So, and yeah, then you kind of get hooked on it. So very close after, I believe a week after the awards, there was Antwerp.
Mm-hmm.
For I believe they did that once, and yeah, we managed to do that one too. And yeah, and by a miracle we won that one actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's kind of as a participant the first
wow
couple of ones that are notable.
I've never done a 48. There was a sibling competition way back when called the National Film Challenge, which became the 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
And crazy me, I was actually producing two teams in one weekend and editing one of the films. And that's all male, you know, it's all male in, so it's not quite the same thing, but we really did have to rush to the DHL office so that we could get it stamped and, you know, show that we had it in on time. So that's the closest I've had to one of those experiences. But most of the time it's just me watching people freaking out, jumping out of cars, running down the street.
Yep.
It gets nuts. So how did you become the city producer for Eindhoven?
Okay, so I believe it was 2017, if I'm correct. At that point, we always had the awards. Not the awards. The screenings. We had that at a place where they would just connect. They would just connect a laptop and just show it that way. And and they had the opportunity to show it in an actual cinema, but they of course wanted to have DCPs, and Pierre knew me at that point and knew that I was able to create DCPs. So he called me and I was like, okay, can you help me run this technical part of it, which I know nothing about? And and that's how I started helping Pierre, and that kicked off a lot of things. And so at first it was just helping out, and then after a couple of years he asked me to become the city producer for Eindhoven together with him. So yeah, and a lot of things that we now have originate from that, because
yes.
the thing is that one of the things that I really would really like when I create a digital cinema package is to have like the highest quality possible, so like a ProRes file or something like that. And that's usually not what you're given when they're delivering their USB stick.
No, not at all.
No. So what we did was just for the screenings, we asked people to still create a higher quality version. That
like
was
ProRes or a DNX HD.
Exactly. Yeah. And send that to me. And so I would receive dozens of Wii transfers and my air bridges and stuff like that. Awesome. And that sucked.
It's worse than getting the USB sticks.
Oh my God. It was so slow. It was so slow. So I did that one time and then I was like, okay, I'm creating something myself because this is nuts. So I created like a simple portal where people could simply upload stuff. And so that was something that could be used for that. And then at some point Pierre said like, okay, but could they also do paperwork like that? Sure, why not? It's just an upload tool. So sure. So that's how we started already doing uploads and digital paperwork way before Cinema 48 was a thing. That caught the attention of Mark. So the 48 has its City Producers Award, I believe they're called, and they're things for innovations that happen. Don't know if they do them at this moment.
We didn't do it this year.
No, but anyway, a couple of years ago they did, and Pierre nominated me basically without telling me, I might add. And so at some point I received a news letter with the results, and I was like, wait, I'm getting an innovation award? Wait, what? Yeah, what's going on? So it's
completely justified.
Yeah. So I thought, well, that's going to be a whole thing. And anyway, that was like a couple months or so before Filmapalooza Rotterdam happened. So that was like the first contact thing. Then I was asked to also create the DCPs for Rotterdam, and all that thing started. And then, well, yeah.
Well, I mean, what you've done over the last couple of years has really revolutionized how we as city producers are going to be able to work going forward. It's really, really, really incredible. Chris and I, we started the Missoula 48 in 2019. And I've told this story a bunch of times, but we both have, you know, deep ties to the Missoula area. Mm-hmm. But Montana is such a huge state. And there's, in the entire state, there's only 1 million people. And it's the fourth largest state in the United States. So if we really wanted to have a successful event, it couldn't just be Missoula. You know, Missoula only has, I think, 50, 60,000 people. You know, it's not a big city. There are no big cities in Montana. So we'd have to reach out to the rest of the state. And consequently, Chris and I would have to make those drives. And we're used to the drive from Seattle to Missoula area. That's a one-day drive. That's a full day's driving. But we'd have to recruit from Billings, which is 5 hours east. And Bozeman, 2.5, 3 hours east. So it's a lot of work. And to do a physical drop off is kind of mean for Montana filmmakers.
Yeah.
And it passed their film incentive in 2019. So there's more and more and more people anxious to get in on this because there's more and more and more work. And this is a great way for people to show their talents. But when Cinema 48 became a necessity because of the pandemic, it really became so incredibly useful because Chris and I now realize we can't run the Bozeman, the Billings, or the Missoula 48. Now we can run the Montana 48-hour film project. The logistics that we have to worry about now, since we can do virtual kickoff, virtual drop-off, is how do we handle screenings, which is going to be the big challenge. So we're thinking we'll do a night in Billings, and then the next night a screening in Bozeman, and then a screening in Missoula for each of those. But without Cinema 48 and what you've brought to us technologically, that wouldn't have been possible.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's crazy. It has been a crazy 2 years, to be honest. I mean, the thing was that to track back a little bit about the first idea for Cinema 48, You remember that they did the stuck at home ones, right? And the idea was that people would post their film on the Facebook page of that specific one. And I believe that the problem was that at some point it was so successful that people couldn't track all the films that were coming in. I believe there were like 200
participants. Yeah, there were a lot of them.
There were a lot. So, and I came with the idea like, okay, I can just build a website. So I built a website in a day or so, and where people could just enter their YouTube or Vimeo link and then rate things and keep a comment, something like that. And simple stuff from a technical point of view. But that again caught Mark's eye, and he contacted me and he was like, I have this idea for a global film challenge, and which is sure it's a nice challenge, but it's basically a test of seeing if we can even do the 48 as an online thing, mm-hmm. because the pandemic is going to be here a while. And so yeah, we discussed this whole project. The thing is, of course, that it's not just an upload tool, because you have mm-hmm. the element of the competition with it. So you need to be very sure that the drop-off moment is accurate, and that, but you also don't want to, what's the word? This, yeah.
Penalize?
Yeah, penalize because they have like a bad internet connection.
Yeah.
And then I came up with the whole checksum, the fingerprint,
which was brilliant. That was a brilliant idea.
Yeah, yeah. Which is also kind of adopted from 4 Points, I believe.
That's how 4 Points did it. Yeah,
exactly. But what they did was they asked you to go to a website, drop in the file, and then if you had the checksum, send them the checksum, and then afterwards they could
so it was still go to another website, do a thing, and then come back to the original website.
Yeah. And what I did was combine that thing. So I found a script that would analyze the file, get the information, and then if I got the information, then immediately I wrote a script that would send that back to the server. And the moment that would hit the server, that would count as the drop-off time. And because that would be done before you would even send one byte of data, that was the solution for it. So I built that, and that was really scary to to do in such a short time.
Well, so trying to explain that to the filmmakers was a lot of work, because, you know, it's a new thing, and convincing them that, you know, explaining to them that the checksum just needs to be performed before 7:30.
Yeah.
Like you said, not even a byte of the actual film needs to be uploaded. Yeah. Just the checksum needs to be done. It's such an abstract concept for so many people. And, you know, since I do a lot of, you know, media management, digital loading, I'm very familiar with checksums because, you know, my software does that and I'm used to it. And so explaining it to people who have no idea what it is was a bit of a mental challenge, but once people get it, they're like, oh, so my film isn't late because it says my checksum was at, you know, 7:29. Like, your upload may have stalled, just send it again or wait it out.
Exactly.
And there was a really long time where people were asking, are we ever going to do digital uploads and get away from the in-person turning in? And that just did not seem like a possibility for the longest time. And I just said, I'd always say, no, the physical turn in, it's part of the DNA of the 48, really toe the corporate line, so to speak. But once we did it for the last couple of years now,
yep,
I am completely sold. We aren't going to hear these stories of people risking their lives going, you know, yeah, 160 kilometers in a 20, you know, in a 30 zone.
I know. I've been to many drop-offs. I mean, after starting to do Eindhoven, I also did helped with Nijmegen. So I did a couple of the actual physical drop-offs, and yeah, seeing people running and doing crazy things and hearing about all kinds of crazy things. But when I spoke to Pierre about this, he was really adamant about going back to the old way of doing the drop-off, because there is like a charm. You come together, you have like a party afterwards, but the thing was that the advantage of doing it digitally and yeah, I don't know, it's a choice, I guess. And but the more people are using it, I think,
you know, I think we're going to get more people participating because of it.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of teams that have participated many, many times, and they've done it enough times. They've generated enough of their own horror stories, experienced enough 48 related trauma that they're like, nope. Just because of the drop-off, I don't want to do it anymore. I can't put myself through that anymore. And I've already noticed this year, while I've been kind of hyping the coming 48 season, said, yeah, we're going to be doing digital drop-off. We'll do a hybrid in-person virtual kickoff, because with the mask mandates and public gatherings starting to wind down, it'll be good to get that social aspect back, because that ultimately is, you know, community is such a huge part of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's such a huge part of it. So it'll be nice to get back to that, but give people the options. Because I know, you know, half of them are going to say, no, I want to go to the physical kickoff. They want to draw their genre out of the hat. They want to, you know, potentially pick up an actor at the last minute, things like that. There are definite benefits, but safety, I keep coming back to safety. I don't want anyone to get hurt trying to get in on time. And Chris and I are going to try and think of a fun way to get people to actually come and celebrate their achievement that night if they want to. So we'll probably live cast it from Solo Bar, which you're going to see next year.
Yeah.
When we do our road trip, I'm taking everyone to Solo.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. I've heard you talk so many times about all the things that you're doing in Seattle. I can't wait to actually be there.
Yeah. So for a little context here, we'll get into the craziness of the last week. So Filmapalooza wrapped up this previous Saturday, March 12th, and it didn't quite go as planned. What happened, Wouter?
Okay, so
I'm going to giggle through this whole thing at this point.
Yeah, I know. So, for me to go to the US, I needed to do a PCR test, of course, and so I did that on the Monday before that was for me. I was about to arrive on Tuesday and travel on Tuesday. And the test results took way too long. So at some point I needed to just leave, because otherwise I would arrive too late on at the airport. So I was traveling with Indra. So she would travel. We would both travel to the airport. So finally we get there. Still no test result. So we decide to get a second test at the airport and just hope for the best. While I was waiting for that test result, the first test result came in, and unfortunately, it was a positive test result. So that was the end of my Filmapalooza.
Didn't even start.
Nope.
Ended before it began.
Yep.
Oh, because that was crazy. Because I was traveling overnight, Monday to Tuesday. And so I flew Seattle to Detroit, Detroit to DC. And so it's, you know, 4.5 hour flight from Seattle to Detroit. And I slept a little bit on the plane. And when I woke up, just dazed and learning that my flight is going to be delayed and there's no coffee open at the Detroit airport at 6:30 in the morning, which is
crazy.
I'm going to leave a horrible Yelp review for that entire airport. And then I get this text from Indra. I can hear her crying through this text.
Oh yeah. She was.
I can hear her crying through this text.
Absolutely was. Yeah.
Wiped her tested positive. The first thing out of my mouth is, don't fucking kid about this. This is no time to be joking about this. You've got to be kidding me. It's like, no, we did. And then I think I texted you. Isn't it a little early for an April Fool's joke?
Wow. I wish it was an April Fool's joke. God. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, at that point I was traveling back to Eindhoven.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I have been in quarantine ever since, and I can leave quarantine 2 days from now when this podcast is going to be released.
But I mean that was such a huge shock to everyone. And Indra and Mark were the first people I saw. I got in at about at noon and then took a shower to get the airplane and airport off of me, and then ran into Mark and Indra, and Indra immediately just grabbed me and was crying like, I can't believe it.
Yeah. But the other thing was, I mean, half of my suitcase was packed with all kinds of text stuff. I had my camera. I had Ultra Studio thing, so I would be able to get the best quality video from my computer, and got microphones. I also needed to make sure that PJ was able to from Pittsburgh, that he was able to. Yeah, basically gear up. I mean, he needed to.
He did. He really pulled through in a big way. But the first thing that we thought of wasn't, oh shit, what are we going to do about the award show or the screenings or everything? Mark, Indra, and I thought was, it's painful. It's just such a shame that Walter is not going to be able to see the result of all of this work you've been putting in since last year.
Yeah, I know.
You put such an incredible amount of time and energy into it, and you know, really a lot of the backbone of the event was the work you were doing.
I know. I mean we collaborated so much on the DCP creation for thing. And I mean I was also like okay, I mean, yeah, finally I got to see you again in person.
Yeah.
Basically everybody in person, but
exactly,
but especially the people that I've been working with so intensely for the past few months on Filmapalooza and other things, of course, and of course the Zoom calls that we did, of course,
which we got to bring. We got to start doing those.
Absolutely.
But I think we all just got burnt out on as much as we all wanted to sit around and talk to each other. I think it's just. So much Zoom over the course of the pandemic, but I know, you know, Dino was so looking forward to meeting you, and you know, just all these other people were looking forward to meeting you and you know, being able to congratulate you on all fantastic work you've done.
I know. I listened to the podcast, so I know.
It was Yeah. So when we had the meeting on Monday, I'm sure that the microphone on Mark's computer didn't do it justice. But when you put that meme up, the entire meeting was dying.
I know. I mean, I was thinking like, I mean, I can be very bummed about it. I can also just make it turn it into a joke.
But, yeah.
yeah.
That's the only way you get through something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Otherwise you're just going to, you know, tear yourself up and it's not worth it to do that. But I mean, you were so genuinely missed.
I know.
Whole time. And everyone really, really, really appreciates all the work that you put in. Because it's really helped the work you've done for Filmapalooza and the work you've done to help headquarters give us city producers a set of common tools it's been enormous. Because this is my 18th year. And because, you know, I'm 50 now and starting to get kind of set in my ways. For the longest time, you know, we had the dashboard.
Yeah.
And then we had the new dashboard, which is the one that's currently being revamped. And so much of what we had to do as city producers was cobbling together all of our own tools, and headquarters largely answered questions, would occasionally provide some graphics, and gave us the common message that we would share with our participants. And now we're starting to get these common tools that we can all use. And the new graphic design stuff, Mark sent me the new logo today. And I immediately opened up an Illustrator and started clapping.
Yeah, it's awesome, right?
It's a well put together Illustrator file. I can do anything I want with it. Love it.
Did you see, because Mark also attached the style guide that they did. It's so good. It's so good. I mean,
coming into the 21st century.
Exactly. I mean, one of the things later on in the document is more about the customization of the logo for each city. Yeah. And I love that idea. If I'm correct, they thought about that specific part, and it's definitely something that.
Well, I'm going to be designing a T-shirt today with it, just because it'll be fun.
Yeah,
I can do something new, and it's not. Mark told a funny story about the new logo. So the logo is new, but if you look at it, just a casual glance, you're not really going to notice anything, but it's actually pretty huge. But I guess when he was working with the team in Rome, he said, well, we want something new, but we don't want you to change it too much, or there are going to be three people incredibly angry with you. And to that, he said, no, and that's a reference to Indra, Chris Cherry, and I with our tattoos. And my immediate response was, well, no, we have the classic logo. we have the 48 classic logo.
Yeah, I know. When the logo was presented to the rest of HQ, I immediately had to think about Indra. I was like, okay, if it's not good, she's going to kill us. but then I saw what it was, and I was like, okay, this is. I think she will be happy with
it. She is. She's very happy with it. She's very happy with it. And before my life as a filmmaker, I used to work in graphic design. I was a graphic production artist for print and web. So not actually a designer. Design isn't my forte. But I worked with graphic designers and creative directors. And I would basically take their sloppy ass Photoshop and Illustrator files and streamline them, clean them up so that they could be delivered to the web developers or to a print shop, and everything would just go seamlessly. So I got the logo and I was just like, this is okay. I can work with this. This is great. Yeah. This is clean.
Yeah, exactly. I did before I did film school, I went to a graphic design school as well, which is like the Dutch education system is weird, but it's kind of like a lower tier college kind of part where my film school was basically actual college. So yeah, and I had Illustrator and Photoshop lessons. So and I immediately, same as you. I mean, you open it up and you see what it should be, and that's huge. I
I can
mean,
access every single element in it, every point in it. I can access, and even the curves and everything. I can do whatever I want with it. The classic logo is great. It's served us well for a long time. And I think the original EPS file of it. I think, well, the 48 developed after PDF became the underlying engine for Illustrator. EPS used to be the file format, and then PDF, which makes sense because PDF is just evolution of PostScript. But looking through, opening up the old logo in Illustrator, I just want to pull my hair out because there's like weird blocks of white that are masking things out. It's like, oh, this person didn't know how to use paths. Oh, this is painful. They don't know how to make a compound path or punch through. It just gives me a headache. It gives me flashbacks to my old life, which made me drink a lot. I'm really happy with the new direction.
Exactly. I mean, the rest of the whole design is really nice, and they're also creating mock-ups for the main page for the new website. The dash is something that I create myself, but
Which I am so looking forward to. I do want to be one of the testers, and I will try to break it and give you feedback.
yeah, please, please do, because that's the whole point of that thing. So the thing is that, I mean, you talked about the dashboard, and one of the main things about new system is going to be that, just as you had with Cinema 48, teams will also have their own place where they can create something, and that's the starting off point of so much more. I don't want to repeat too much about my whole presentation, but maybe we should revisit that at some point.
It's really the utility that it's providing for participants and for city producers is incredible. I got excited just thinking about the possibilities for this year. Like, all right, well, I wanted to take a month off and not think about the 48, but here we go. It's just this year-long process for me at this point.
And it is going to be a process anyway. I mean, there are still so many things that I need to create, but the whole structure is there, and I brought in all the old database stuff, which was nightmare to handle, by the way. But because
I
I
can't
believe
even imagine.
that I from what I understood, the current the database of the current website was like an iteration on an iteration of the old website. So everything that was created was tacked on, basically. And I mean, it worked, it served its purpose, but if you're going to modernize it, just do it correctly. So it was,
Well, it's so funny because what you're doing, all the stuff for the website, is basically what drove me to film school. Because I was working in the graphic design realm, and I got laid off from, a good paying job that I kind of hated in 2001. And I was trying to think, how do I, as a graphic production artist in the early 2000s, we're kind of a dime a dozen. I was better than most at what I did. And then I was thinking, well, how do I differentiate myself? How do I make myself invaluable? So I started reading books on JavaScript and CSS and Python and other things. And after about a month of unemployment, I just went, I hate this. I hate doing this. I'm getting anxious just reading these books. I hate this. And I was thinking about moving back to San Francisco to finish up my photography degree, but I made too many good friends here in Seattle and didn't want to move just yet. And the Seattle Film Institute had a 40-week program. And I said, oh, that seems like a logical next step. I'll go into cinematography or something. And I wound up in editing. That's how I got it into the field. I just fell in love with editing and storytelling and just got myself away from all the things that, you know, you've learned on top of the filmmaking stuff. And
But still, I mean, having a graphical background is really handy if you're doing editing.
It is, yeah.
Because you know how branding works. And that's,
yeah.
I know a lot of editors that don't simply, and especially if you're working on the corporate stuff,
yeah.
It is so important to nail that marketing part.
Well, just having the ability to, if you're dealing with corporate customers who don't understand, I don't even want to say the technical side. They just don't understand the graphical side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't, you say, okay, well, what's the Pantone color? And they go, what? Like, okay, just send me a graphic and I'll figure out the RGB values. And just knowing the difference between bitmap and vector graphics and how to access elements of a graphic, whether it's vector or bitmap, and either adapt it to your needs or recreate it, which you did for Virtual Filmapalooza. That was one of a background you recreated.
Yeah. Still
I'm glad you got to it before I did.
Oh my
God. You took a bullet for me.
That was a nightmare to recreate. Yeah, definitely. But yeah.
Oh man, that was a lot of little elements on a big canvas.
Yeah. Fortunately, a lot of repeating elements also, but it still took me a little over a day to do. So
yeah. That's just a lot of working with the pen tool.
Yep.
All right. So yeah, I just got to get back to it. We missed you so much. And, next year we're going to do a road trip from Seattle to LA. And this is Olivier started the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So his son's going to be going to school in Vancouver. And Olivier said, well, hey, would it be cool if I, come down? I know you're just 3 hours to the south. Would it be cool if I come down and hang out before heading out to Filmapalooza? And I said, let's do one better. Let's, you, me, and Chris road trip down. And then Indra walked up. And I'm like, Indra, do you want to do a road trip to LA next year? And she's like, yeah.
Yeah, and then she texted me, hey, we're going to do a road trip from Seattle to LA. I'm in.
Well, they kind of roped Chris in without informing her. So I texted her and she said, I'm in.
Awesome.
So, the plan is I'll go pick up Olivier in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
You and Indra fly into Seattle. We'll all come and hang out at my house. We'll have pizza in the backyard.
Awesome.
And homemade beer. And we'll have mead available as well. We'll go hang out at Solo Bar. And then, so my plan is, since this is my coast, I love the West Coast. I don't know if I can live away from the West Coast. I need to be near the Pacific Ocean. We'll drive from Seattle to Portland, stop at a couple of the iconic places in Portland, go to a food truck pod, go to Voodoo Donuts, and you can have a maple bacon bar, which is their famous thing, which I think is kind of gross. And then we'll drive down to San Francisco. Have you ever been to San Francisco?
I've never been to the United States, so no.
Okay. Oh, yeah. San Francisco is my favorite city on the planet. I love San Francisco. So we'll cram a bit of San Francisco in for a day. And then it's about 700 kilometers to LA from there. So we'll stop in Santa Cruz, where I went to college, which is on the coast. And we'll get coffee at my favorite coffee place and burritos at my favorite burrito place in the world. And then we'll drive the more scenic route down to LA. And
Yeah, so cool. My brother and his girlfriend, they a couple of years ago, they flew to San Francisco and drove down to LA. And took a lot of pictures. So I know kind of what to expect, but can't wait to see it in person. So.
Oh, it's fantastic. The drive down Highway 1 on the coast, we can't take it the whole way because if you go San Francisco to Los Angeles on Highway 1, which goes right along the coast the whole way, it takes forever. It's just windy, windy, windy. So we'll at a certain point cut over to 101, which kind of goes along the coast and then cuts inland and then comes back to the coast and ultimately winds up with 1 around Santa Barbara. But it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
Awesome.
Much better because you can just take I-5 from Seattle all the way to LA. And it's a beautiful drive until you get to the California Central Valley. And then it's just cattle farms and almond farms for 800 kilometers. It's terrible. And it's hot and there's scorpions and snakes. So, yeah, I can't wait to do this.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I heard of the idea and I was like, this is going to be so awesome. And yeah, can't wait to do.
As Indra told you, my idea for the documentary.
Yeah, but didn't you well, not specifically, I guess, but the documentary, you also mentioned something on your podcast about getting Mark to
Antarctica.
Antarctica.
But I was thinking, this could be the beginning of the documentary, heading to Filmapalooza with an international cast of characters and then meeting up with an even more international cast of characters.
Awesome.
Just, bring a camera. I'll have my GoPros plunked
Sure.
onto the car the whole drive. It'll be a gigantic tax write-off.
Yeah, I'll definitely bring my my Pocket 6K. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, it's gonna have to be. It's a year from now. That's
No, I know. It gives us some time to plan this
Yeah.
in detail. So, but yeah, we're definitely going
I
to do
can't wait. It's gonna
that.
be so much fun. Well, okay, so Filmapalooza in Rotterdam, which is a great Rotterdam. You know how it goes. It's like after the final party, everyone says goodbye, and then you're just kind of depressed after it. You've said it's a giant emotional bomb when you've said goodbye to everyone. And this year was kind of nice because we had the big goodbye after the party. And on Sunday, I met up with Indra and I met up with Kyle and Michael and Kat and Jeanette down on the National Mall. Indra and I were starving because we hadn't eaten yet and it's like noon. So they have a huge line of food trucks. And, there's so many justifiable stereotypes of Americans. But the food truck thing, I just pulled Indra and said, okay, this is one aspect of America that I just absolutely love is the American food truck. Because you got some hardworking immigrants, either from, Southeast Asia or the Middle East or Central or South America, making at the same time hamburgers, hot dogs, falafel, quesadillas, pad thai, and kebabs, all in the same truck. It's, I love that.
Oh, wow.
I
Yeah.
love that so much. To me, that is just the epitome of America right there.
Yeah.
And so
Awesome.
she got this giant loaded hot dog, and I got a chicken cheese steak, and we all just got different things, and it really helped kind of taper off, just seeing, okay, here's a couple of people I get to say goodbye to. And then on Monday, Indra and I went out for breakfast with Christina. And then she took me back to my hotel. And then, I thought Indra was going to break my back hugging me when she was saying goodbye. And it really helped kind of lessen the emotional shock of saying goodbye.
Yeah. You may, originally, the plan was that Indra and I were after Sunday. We kind of wanted to go to Orlando for a couple of days to just go to the Universal Studio thing and have the whole Harry Potter thing. Just such nerds, and. But even before the whole thing started, or well, basically finished for me, but we already decided not to do that because of all the testing, and we yeah, there was
well, the moment bad. You set foot in Florida, your risk goes up.
That too. So yeah. Oh, well.
I don't mean to offend Florida, but they've been really bad about the whole COVID thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what we figured out when we were trying to figure out testing facilities that were foreigner friendly, kind of. So, we decided not to do this anyway. But yeah. Oh, well, this happened.
Well, they have a Harry Potter world, you know, in LA. So,
yeah. So that's.
We'll do that.
Yeah, exactly. And let's hope we can find a couple more people that want to do.
That won't be hard.
Yeah.
That won't be hard.
Yeah.
So Indra was a little upset that, you know, we were going to do two American Filmapaloozas in a row. And, you know, Chris and I want to host again in Seattle at some point. But. We, you know, we've come to enjoy the American International, but COVID really screwed that up. And Michael and Leanne in LA said, we really want to host again. And the LA Filmapaloozas are fantastic. I mean, you're literally on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. There's the Chinese theater and everything. And it's always a great Filmapalooza. They put on a fantastic event. I think that's the one city I would make the exception for.
Yeah.
If it was any other city next year in the States, I'd completely be with Indra saying, no, we got to go international. But no, the LA ones are great.
Yeah. But I think that it would be a good idea too for 2024 to, to go back.
We were bugging Ricardo. It's like, all right, let's bring it to Lisbon. And I've also been bugging David. I want to go back to Prague. I think he'd put on a good Filmapalooza.
Yeah.
Love Prague. I love that city.
Yeah. Never been, but that would be a good reason to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing is, so okay, the drive that we're gonna make is equivalent to, I don't know quite the math, but
yeah, I think it's from where I live basically to the south of Spain, which I drove quite a distance for that a couple of years ago for a holiday with a friend. So, it's quite a drive. Yeah.
Well, over here on the West Coast, things are so much more spread out than they are, say, even over on the East Coast or anywhere in Europe. So to us, you know, just the idea of Prague is probably, let's see here, to my brother's place in Montana, it's the equivalent of driving Paris to Berlin. So tack on a couple more hours after that to get to Prague. So those distances to us over here on the West Coast are kind of nothing.
I think that another part of it is gas prices. I mean,
But you guys have great trains. You have fantastic trains.
Yeah, true. But I mean, if we're talking about a road trip, I mean, my aunt, she lives in Paris. So I've been with the train loads of times.
Yeah. Oh, I miss travel. Because Kasia's parents live in Łódź, Poland, and they're kind of freaking out right now because war is only 500 kilometers from them. At this point, a little over 500 kilometers in, is it Lviv? So they're kind of freaking out. I just can't wait until things calm down enough that pandemic wise that we can go visit her parents. She hasn't seen them in 3 years or almost four, which is just crazy.
Yeah.
And Yeah, just can't wait to see all my friends again.
For me, Filmapalooza was supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to see you badly, you know? Yeah,
I know. It will happen next year.
Yeah. Well, because we spent a good amount of time hanging out in Rotterdam, but not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Since the pandemic, I mean, a lot of time on Zoom calls together.
Oh,
like, oh my God, I'm going to see my buddy. I want to see my buddy. Yeah. Well, hey, we're at an hour. So,
wow.
You're not. I got a dog that needs to pee really badly.
Yeah.
But it's so good to chat with you, and I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah.
So that's the most important thing, that you're getting healthy.
Maybe we should do this again when the new website is
yeah,
is
totally
for a time, so I can talk a little bit about things going forward when they're set in motion, but a bit too early for that. But
well, thank you so much, and I'm sure I'll be talking to you soon.
Sure. All right. Thank you.
So it really doesn't matter what you look like, say, or do. I know that I had a cooler weekend than you.
48 Hour Heroes Origin Stories is a production of Media Without Borders and the Seattle 48 Hour Film Project.